Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. I feel like we should roll in a couch every time our next guest is here.
Yes.
Clinical psychologist, certified life coach. He's a parenting and relationship expert. He has a podcast, which I love listening to at WGN Plus and wherever your favorite podcasts are found. It's called Undo Anxiety. His name is Dr. John Duffy. Hello, John.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me.
I noticed on your Facebook feed that you had some parenting exposition, symposium, conference, what was it?
Yeah, it was the Zen Parenting Conference, and this happens every year. And I forget how awesome it is to get together with a bunch of like-minded people who have a similar mission. So this is parenting experts and a bunch of parents, about 300 or so people, a bunch of speakers, some music, Milk, M-I-L-C-K, awesome.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I heard her. What is that all about? I never heard of her before.
She came up with this anthem for the Women's March that was intended to just be a song, but it's just amazing, really powerful. I mean, it was 300 people in tears.
Mm-hmm.
But it reminded me how important it is to be around like-minded people sometimes who rejuvenate you,
mm-hmm.
and how often we're with people who deplete us and, you know, kind of are negative and toxic and draining in our lives, either because they're in our family tree or in the habit of hanging out with them, which is fine.
Right.
But every once in a while, we need that jolt of energy of like, I'm with these like-minded people. And I think you guys probably both have some activity that, you know, you do on a regular basis where you feel like, okay, these are my people and this makes me feel good and I get the energy I need to make it through the next week or so.
Right. Now, not to dispel that, because I agree with that. That's fun. You get together with people whose ideas and thoughts are kind of in the same direction as yours. But there's a lot of people who say that because everything is so polarizing now, because politics is so polarizing, that the days of getting together with people who are not of like mind are diminishing. That we're afraid to get in the clashes with people.
Right, and it's a really good point. And maybe I'm using the right words when I say like-minded, because really what I mean is positive-minded.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So there were probably a number of very natural, organic disagreements happening at this conference, but everybody kind of had the same goal. It was like, you know, let's be the best parents we can be. Let's be the best parenting experts we can be.
Right.
And as long as that's the deal, a little like kind of gentle disagreement is not the end of the world.
Sure.
It's where it gets real polarized and nasty and harsh that it becomes like nothing's going to happen that's useful here.
All
Yeah, good point.
You know, I think back to our parents, and I'm pretty sure no one went to a conference. I mean, people just were our parents, and now it's like you got to study, you got to work hard at it. It's hard.
Parenting is, I say this all the time, parenting is a verb now, and our parents, they didn't parent the way we do. They would never have gone to a conference because there were no conferences, you know?
And John, they'd read books. Like, remember there was Dr. Lendon Smith. He'd write books about child rearing.
Yeah.
And I guess Benjamin
Dr. Spock.
Spock was, of course, for younger, for babies mostly, right? But there were a lot of like self-help books when it came to that kind of thing. But now it's taken on a new dimension.
And parenting has taken on a new dimension because what used to work in terms of like kind of an iron-fisted parenting, you know, this worked with my parents, you know, is that a little bit of fear from mom and dad was going to get them a long way in terms of gaining the behavior from the kids that they want.
Right.
That does not work now. That does not work in this generation. And I actually think that's a better story because, you know, we all have either have or have had teenagers, and teenagers will say, okay, I'll do what you want me to do. Give me a reason.
Mm-hmm.
They want a reason.
Right.
And, you know, and they're not going to follow suit.
Because I said so.
Yeah.
That's not going to work anymore.
No, because I said so, because you're in big trouble.
But there are people all over Facebook that accuse other parents of being snowflakes and, you know, you can't be your kid's friend. You've got to be a parent. And I agree with that 100 times over. But it's also a different time now where if you are just being that tyrant of a parent, there are a couple things that can happen. One is my mom was pretty strict. I rebelled. I went completely the other way.
Sure.
And also there are kids that commit suicide now.
Yeah.
It's a big difference.
Yes, yeah. There are risks here that didn't exist a generation ago.
I want my kids to stay alive. That is key.
Health and safety, number one, right? And I think just a few years back, that wasn't a primary concern. But now it really is. Because, because there is so much stress, so much anxiety, and so much about our kids that we don't know. Another thing I posted, Wendy, last night was a story about a website called Musical.ly. And a lot of people don't know about this.
I didn't.
But you didn't know about it?
Uh-uh.
And there are many sites like this, but effectively what Musical.ly is about, it has this sheen of, hey, kids, come along and post your videos.
Yeah.
You know, post these nice light videos of what's going on in your lives.
Yeah.
If you dig just a little bit deeper, there are videos that are how-tos on anorexia, on cutting, on suicidality, on talking kids out of suicide, on talking kids into suicide. It's really, there's pornography on there.
Yeah.
But the article, the writer of the article suggested pornography is the least of the problem on Musical.ly and Instagram and Snapchat and everything else. One of the bigger problems is that these kids are drawn into a dark adult world that they are ill-equipped to maintain.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just read somebody, they wrote this story online, and I can't remember the website, but the gist of it was they were in a bookstore, they were in a Barnes & Noble, and they were walking down an aisle, and they noticed how many adult coloring books there were.
Yeah.
And she said, the writer said, I really think this says a lot about society, that we're all reverting a little bit.
Yeah.
That we all can't handle the daily stress that we used to handle, and the best way to do it is to go back to our childhood and color.
Right.
And there's something to that.
There is something to it. It is a phenomenon, and people do kind of regress. We regress to our own childhoods because there's this comfort in that. And there is a bit of the simplicity of the good old days.
Yeah.
We talk a lot about, like, you know, the cartoons that we watched when we were kids.
Yeah.
You know, like Saturday morning was not about like, okay, I'm going to get on Snapchat and I'm going to think of something clever and send it out to my friends.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, I'm going to hang out and I'm going to play.
Yeah.
Right.
And now our generation, we want to get back to just playing a lot of the time, you know? And I think we want that for our kids to some extent. And they're so married to devices of one kind or another that we don't see them playing the way we'd like.
So, John, is that what's increasing the pressure in everybody and kids and adults and families? Is it that? Is that what the difference is between this generation and all those that preceded it?
Yeah. A lot of it is technology. I mean, if you think about, there's a great line in this article that suggested a generation ago, we were able to walk out of school, a bell rings, and we can be off the grid. Right. You know, and we're clear and free and clear.
Right.
And our stressors kind of go away to a great extent. We still have homework to do. We might want to get together with some friends, but we don't know what every single person in our class is doing. You
right.
know what I mean?
That's true.
Yeah. And we can't tap into how many likes we're getting, you know. So these kids have so much more, you know, kind of working against them. So many more things kind of chipping away at their self-esteem. And there's this pressure about, like, you know, being perfect, about getting into the greatest college, being involved in all these activities, getting the highest scores on the ACT and the SAT, you know. And I think we didn't have that to the same extent the kids have that now.
No, and Michael, my older son, got a great ACT score and got into his college he wanted to go to, but they didn't give us a lot of scholarship money, and
right.
when push came to shove, it's time for junior college. But the school makes it seem, you know, you do great on your ACT and you do all these extracurriculars and you will get into the school of your choice and they will pay for it.
Right.
That's not true.
No. No, you can do really, really well and still not get where
right.
you exactly want to go. And it used to be so much simpler
yeah, right.
than it is now. It's really very complicated, you know. And sometimes kids end up feeling like failures when, in fact, they're doing perfectly well and they're on a perfectly good track. It's just not the track that every other kid is on.
That's it.
Yeah, right?
Keeping up with the Joneses.
Exactly.
That's way worse now because of social media and
yeah.
because of the pressure.
Well, and the Joneses aren't putting up what the Joneses are doing. They're putting up the very best of what the Joneses are doing, right?
Right.
With their cherry picking. Yeah.
The highlight reels.
Right.
Wendy and I had this discussion, and you were not here for this, John, so I'll ask you now that you are here. What about a kid that just doesn't play that game? I'm not into social media stuff much at all.
Right.
And I don't check my phone every 4 minutes, and I don't care.
Yeah.
And when I was a kid, believe me, I would have been the same way.
Yeah.
Can a kid survive just not caring about it at this point, or is there too much pressure to care about it?
There is this mild, I think it's this groundswell of very few kids who are going back to flip phones, getting off of all social media.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like the rebels of a generation.
Right.
Ago,
right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh no, I won't have anything to do with this. I couldn't care less about any of this. And I've heard from some kids, I think that's pretty cool. You
yeah.
know? So I've always been hoping in the last several years for some backlash to, you know, the more information, more data, more likes, more different methods of social media. And there's this, I worked with a kid yesterday and he went away because he had some difficulty to a therapeutic wilderness camp. He came back and he was so overwhelmed by all the data on his phone that he went to his parents like, take this. I can't stand it. And so just give me a flip phone so I can just reach out and text or call my friends. Let's leave it at that for now.
That's great.
Yeah. And I hope there's more of that going on.
I doubt it.
There's not a whole lot. It's
maybe after they get out of high school, they'll go, this is way too much. But it's like a status symbol now in high school. And I think, Bill, if these phones, smartphones would have been around when we were in high school, whether or not you would have wanted to, I think it just becomes a habit.
I don't know. I wonder if a kid today, I like that a rebel years ago, you know, got a tattoo and drove a motorcycle. And now the kid's like, I don't need a flip phone. That's the difference between today's rebels and yesterday's rebels.
A rebel with a cause now.
Rebel with a cause. All right, a break, and then more with Dr. John Duffy. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Dr. John Duffy is our guest. He just attended a symposium, a clinic, a meeting. Was
conference.
It a powwow?
Yes, it a powwow? It was a powwow. There was an powwow? Absolute powwow. Sure, of course.
So the goal of this, John, again, was what exactly? To find out what the problems were for kids and how parents can best deal with them?
Exactly right. Yep, exactly right. There was a number of sessions, and the idea was to highlight, okay, what are parents struggling with, and what are the answers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you come up with answers? Were there any ironclad, well, this will help solve this, or was that debatable?
A lot of it was debatable. A lot of it was kind of just bringing up ideas. There was a man, Mike Domish, who talked about the dating culture and the consent culture and, you know, kind of how boys and girls can kind of talk to one another in a way that's respectful and feels like there's real consent, you know, that's vigorous as opposed to like, yes, it's okay, you know, you can do this to me,
yes.
You know, kind of thing. So there were some really, really cool presentations that got parents, and I think a lot of it is just to get parents thinking about how to make the decisions they need to make, because there's really no guidebook. I mean, we've all raised kids and, you know, we could say, here's the one sole way to do it. This is the technique that's going to work, and it might work on one kid beautifully and not at all on another.
Yeah.
But if you come to it from an open parenting perspective and you want to learn from your kids, you want to understand their world, then I think you're off to the races. Then I think you've got something here.
When we were growing up, it's like, you know, kids were meant to be seen and not heard from. And we listened and we did what we were supposed to do. It's pretty fun to sit and talk to teenagers and listen. You know, I'm a little anal, I know. So I'm always worried about, here, do this. And I think sometimes I'm more worried about what other people are going to say.
Sure.
Than what is best for me and my house.
Yeah.
But there are some times where I just sit back and there's no pressure and there's nowhere to be. And to just sit and talk to your kids, it's amazing their take on things.
It is. And if you give them the opportunity to share their take on things, typically any kid is going to blow you away. And I've had the luxury of having that opportunity for a quarter of a century. And so, you know, when people say, oh, these kids are ruining the language and they're self-centered because they're taking their selfies, I know better. You know, like, and I think a lot of us do that, you know, like, no, these are really like smart, caring, loving, astute, thoughtful people, you know, and it may not show up on every single kid's ACT score, but there's something remarkable about every single kid, including the most depressed, anxious kid who is, you know, moments from taking their life or wanting to, that there's something amazing about that child, you know?
John, a little while ago you said a lot of this dealt with parents understanding their children's lives.
Yeah.
Each of my daughters at some point have said a version of, you don't understand our world.
Right.
And in both cases, I said, I don't. Because honestly, things have changed so dramatically from the time I was their age to their being their age that I will 100% agree. And I mean, I'm sure that I probably said that to my parents and they probably said it to their parents. But things have changed so rapidly in the last 30 years.
But isn't the difference that your daughters now explain what you don't get? Like parents before, you don't understand, and they'd be, you're right, go away, Bill. But now it's like, you don't understand, and you guys have a conversation to help you understand.
Without a doubt.
That's the difference.
This is what I love about families now, is there's been such a quantum shift in how kids operate now that we have to have conversations with them because they understand far better what they're going through than we do. And they understand what's happening on their phones online, you know, than we do. They understand the stressors day to day in school way more than we do. And so we need to hear from them.
Yeah.
What's it like, you know? And sometimes just knowing, okay, mom and dad are listening to me.
Yeah,
and they
right.
want to know what it's like. That alone, they don't necessarily need us to solve it. And usually, 99% of the time, we can't. It's kind of like, you know, oh, you're not getting enough likes? I have no idea how to fix that, you know?
Right.
But at least I'll hear you out. And I'll try to understand what that means and what that means to you.
And parents do try to solve problems, which I have been accused of. Mom, you can't fix everything, which I guess that's true. I'm
it
a little bit like Bev on the Goldbergs. Her kids call her smother. Sometimes I am like that.
Right.
But it's okay to not have the answers.
It's also okay to be like that sometimes. You know, I think we parents, I learned this weekend too, more is that we parents are so critical of one another. I had a mom in my office today who has four amazing kids, all different in various ways, didn't go any linear path, none of them, but they're incredible in their own right. But her question to me fundamentally was, have I done this wrong? Am I a terrible parent?
Why? Because why? Why did she think?
She didn't do what everybody else did?
And because she sometimes felt like, oh, maybe I was a little over-controlling, or maybe I yelled too often once in a while or something like that. And my point is, oh, yeah, that's parenting. We all do that. We're all going to make mistakes, and our kids are resilient to that. And as long as we have some balance in the emotional bank account with them, they're resilient to that. They get that, you know, we're anxious about their world, and that's not a surprise to them. So you get a pass a lot of the time.
And there's more to be anxious about. You know, I was thinking there were always a few kids in our class, and you have to admit that were bullied. They were. They were teased.
Sure.
They were made fun of.
Oh, yeah.
And now I think that there still is that going on, and there are school shooters that have been bullied, but I also feel that is the minority. The majority of the kids are closer and more protective of one another than we were. Maybe it's because the stakes are so much higher and a shooter can come into a school. I don't know, but it seems like they're bonding more than we did with people of different groups.
Agreed. And I don't think it's that fear of the kids I work with, by and large, unless it's in the very wake of a shooting or something terrible happening in a school. I don't think they're driven by fear. I think they're more driven by empathy. I think they really feel like, you know, I don't want that kid sitting alone and feeling bad about him or herself. So these kids go out of their way to make sure that they reach out to people who they think are lonely or are struggling.
Right.
And I think it comes from an honestly, by and large, deep and sincere part of them.
Yep.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah.
John, thanks so much for being here again.
Thanks for having
Always
me,
appreciate
guys.
It. It's Dr. John Duffy, the host of Undo Anxiety with Dr. John Duffy on WGN Plus. Visit his website, drjohnduffy.com. Buy his book. Get his lunchbox.
Yes.
His action figure, whatever you can
like
find.
Sell hotcakes, by the way.
Right. Get his hotcakes. They're delicious. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
quick
guys.
Break, some news, and then AJ Croce joins us. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.